بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته today is going to start the new chapter of the last caliphate of Islam, that is the fourth caliph, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. We in Islam have, in our history of Islam, we have four rightly guided caliphs. We should understand that the rule of the Muslim Ummah is comprising over the last 14 centuries, but only four caliphs are considered to be the rightly guided caliph, or to be the righteous caliphs among all the rulers from the day one till now. Only four are considered to be following the path of the creator of the universe and his messenger sent to the mankind for the whole in the world. For the reason they bound themselves to the code of Sharia in its full and strict sense. So that's the reason why they are distinctively classified from the rest of the class of the rulers who came to rule over the Muslim world and the Muslim Ummah, but yet could not touch the level of that excellence which was set by these four caliphs. Although we have another name of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who assumed the caliphate in the 99th year of Hijrah and lived for 2.5 years. He tried his best to come up to that same level of the rightly guided caliphs of the earliest time of Islamic history, and he proved himself to be on the same level. Therefore, he is also counted as one of the rightly guided caliph. So that way he becomes fifth caliph. But yet as a general, the whole Muslim Ummah had this consensus that the caliphs, rightly guided caliphs, are four: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah bless them all and may Allah elevate their ranking. The one who were the pioneers of Islam, the one who were the founders, or the one who were the supporters of Islam, who were the fundamental pillars of Islamic caliphate. Although some other rulers also in the Islamic history came, who really set shining examples in their rule, yet they could not come to the level of a rightly guided caliphate. For the reason that somehow they were either they came through succession, whereas there is no succession in Islamic system of politics. So there is no, for the reason that is somehow a breach of Islamic, that is not the true Islamic spirit which was brought by Islam to succeed succeeding of father, or coming into dynasty like Umar bin Khattab Al Farooq radiallahu also. He was approached with the opinion to appoint his son as the successor. He flatly rejected the idea, because in Islamic system there was no succession, so he therefore did not allow his son to succeed him. Although his son Abdullah bin Umar was a pious man and he had high position among all the companions of Medina, and he could have been also agreed upon by the companion if he was going to be elected as a caliph, but yet Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu did not allow his son to be the next caliph, although he had all the qualities which a caliph was required to have. And that proves that Islamic spirit of Islamic system of politics, since there is no succession, so therefore any caliph who came, any ruler who came later on also, and showed marvels, yet cannot be counted or called as the caliph or rightly guided caliph, as the one four are who were the ones to rule in the earliest history of Islam. Now we have the caliphate of Ali radiallahu anhu. But before that, we would like to just reflect upon a few points earlier than the beginning or the assumption of the caliphate of Ali radiallahu anhu in Medina. First of all, we should know that when the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu was martyred, the news spread within Medina as well as without Medina. And we also know that Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, had gone for Hajj to Mecca. When she was on the way from Mecca to Medina after Hajj, she also learned the news. So she turned back from on her way to Medina from to Mecca, so that she could stay in Mecca after that situation which was prevailing in Medina. So Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha had returned to Mecca on her way to Medina. This was a significant development which ultimately led to significant events and developments as well as later on. So this is one thing. Number two is that Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, the one who was once the conqueror of Egypt and the ruler of Egypt as well, the conqueror of Egypt for three times. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, the conqueror of Egypt for three times, because one time when he conquered, it was again subsequently after the second governor occupied by the Romans, then he again conquered, then it was occupied by the Romans, and the third time as well he conquered, and then he had got this distinction to have been the conqueror of Egypt for three times. So Amr bin As, along with his two sons, had left Medina to Palestine when the prevailing situation was awkward, and when the siege had been led around the house of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and he also learned the news of the Caliph's assassination while he was in Medina. So these two significant significant figures of Islam, the Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she was in Mecca at the time of the of this event of assassination, and secondly, she was on the way, but she returned back to Mecca, as well as Amr bin As, along with his two sons, was in Palestine when the assassination of the Caliph took place. Now, similarly, another thing is that Abdullah bin Sa'd, who was the ruler of and the governor of Egypt, had set off to Medina to rescue the Caliph. But when he was on the way, he learned that the one of the mischief monger in Egypt by name Muhammad bin Abu Hudhaifa had assumed the caliphate, has assumed the governorship in his place. So he returned, he tried to then rush to Egypt back, so that to stall his position back. And same way, on the way, while he was in Palestine, he received the news of the Caliph's assassination. So Abdullah bin Sa'd also could not reach Medina, and he was also in Palestine when the news of the assassination of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu had spread. Similarly, now we also refer that the prominent figures of Islam, like Zubair bin Awwam, like Talha radiallahu anhum, Ali radiallahu anhu, they also had shut down their doors, and they were also confined. They had confined themselves to their houses as well, because Medina was now in the grip of the rioters, and the rioters have been ready to kill anyone who came against their opposition. So therefore, and this their great companions were also at risk that if they try to come out, so they may have also been mishandled or mistreated. So therefore, and The Caliph Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, on the other hand, had not allowed the believers to fight with the rioters, so therefore they had shut down themselves into their houses. But the sons of all these three companions were positioned as guards at the doors of the Caliph as well as on the roof of the Caliph's house. After the assassination of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu and after his burial between Maghrib and Isha, the development in Medina took place in the sense that the chief of the mischief monger, who was by name Ghafiqi bin Harab, had been ruling over Medina for 7 days around. So the chief of mischief monger, he had the rule over Medina for at least a week, Ghafiqi bin Harab. After the rule over Medina and after 7 days, these mischief mongers realized that their rule cannot be, since their rule cannot be recognized as a legitimate rule, and therefore there was a need of the installation of caliphate or installation of a caliph, so who would be recognized as a whole by unanimously by the people of Medina, so that the rule could be continued. So they now issued an ultimatum that from now to 2 days. Only 2 days are given to people of Medina to elect their caliph. Otherwise, if they fail to elect their caliph within 2 days, then Talha, Zubair, and Ali would be killed. So this was ultimatum issued by these mischief mongers. So the people of Medina grew worried, and they rushed to all these three companions and they requested them to take the caliphate, but all of the three refused to assume the caliphate. When Talha was approached, he flatly refused. Similarly, when Zubair was approached, radiallahu anhu, he also flatly refused not to assume the caliphate, for the reason that the situation and the condition in Medina was not favorable or was not conducive to assume the caliphate, and they were not ready anyway to assume the caliphate in such an environment, in such a prevailing conditions. When the people approached Ali radiallahu anhu, he also initially refused, but yet he agreed on the caliphate by the people. So the people in general started coming to Ali radiallahu anhu, pledging their allegiances to the caliph, to the companion Ali radiallahu anhu, and this way Ali radiallahu anhu became caliph. Because the prevailing situation was not conducive, so he also had to face a number of challenges from the day one. Because he was now taking, assuming caliphate in such an environment where the atmosphere was full of suspicion and doubts, which were ultimately leveled to him as well. And that was the cause of the battles as well. So Ali radiallahu anhu, his courage and confidence helped him in assuming the caliphate in such a unfavorable condition, in such an unfavorable environment which was prevailing throughout Medina for the last couple of months, because it was 40 days around at least the siege was. So it was more than a month has passed where Medina was passing through this ordeal and this tough time. So in the wake of this environment and atmosphere, yet Ali radiallahu anhu showed his courage and confidence by accepting the caliphate. But he had to face a number of challenges for the reason that he had to remove and he had to face these all difficulties which were prevailing all over Medina and subsequently all over Arabia after the particularly after the assassination of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So when this is the significant development that took place in subsequent to the assassination of the Caliph Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, that the people, that the rioters had issued ultimatum to take pledge for either of the three names, and in case they fail to take pledge, then they will, then the three companions will be killed. So this right, this actually led to the people of Medina to come out of their houses and to rush to these companions, and ultimately it was Ali bin Khattab, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who with his full confidence and courage showed his after although initially hesitating showed accepted the caliphate to so that he could take the responsibility of the Muslim Ummah to continue the rule of the rightly guided caliph in Medina, so that the people could be somehow restored back to their peace and back to their prosperity. But this mystery monger did not allow the caliph Ali bin Abi Talib to fulfill his mission of restoring peace in Medina. That will be because that will be known later as well, but let me tell you here also in this point that because when he asked the mischief mongers in Medina to leave Medina to their respective places, they refused the caliph's order also, and they did not move, or they did not leave Medina to Kufa, Basra or Egypt where they have come from. So this way the mystery mongers put all hurdles on the way of the caliph in his mission to restore peace in Medina, which had which was lost for the last more than a month. For the reason that the mystery monger were not willing to let the peace prevail in Medina, because of the reason that Abdullah bin Sabah was leading them, and Abdullah bin Sabah had actually refused this order of the Caliph radiallahu anhu, so which also caused another obstacle and trouble on the way of the Caliph, that he has to oppose now the whole group of rioters and the whole group of Abdullah bin Sabah, who were not ready to leave Medina, who were still still passing their days in Medina, which was causing disturbance and trouble for the people of Medina, and which was a big hurdle on the way of restoration of peace and tranquility within the city of Medina. But before that, all the caliphate and the events subsequent to his assumption of caliphate, we will like to reflect and we would like to review some of the excellences of the great caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who was married to the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and radiallahu anha, and she bore two great sons of Islam to the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu, namely Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, the ones about whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the chiefs of the youngs of paradise, Sayyida Shababi Ahlul Jannah. The Prophet declared their status in this worldly life that they are the chiefs of the youngs of paradise, Sayyida Shababi Ahlul Jannah. This is the marvelous status that has been enjoyed, that has been possessed by these great sons of Islam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, who also set their extraordinary sacrifices, which was really invincible, which are really something unprecedented in the world history altogether. The particularly the sacrifice set by Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu in the battlefield of Karbala. So this caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib, had a very distinctive family. He had his wife, the daughter of the Prophet. He had his sons, the chiefs of the youngs of paradise, and he himself was the prophet's cousin, as well as one of the 10 blessed companion, as well as lion of Allah and his prophet, as well as the gate of knowledge. And the prophet said, I am the city of knowledge, and Ali is its gate. So he had also on his credit a number of distinctions, a number of extraordinary traits, which were like, for example, he had also been given the title by the prophet Abu Turab, which was again a love of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. So this is how we can see that the fourth caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib, was also one of the most distinctive personality of Islam. Was one of the most distinctive personality of Islam through all his aspects and all his spheres. As I referred before, that his family was a great family. His family was a pious family. Another event I would like to quote here, that in the event of Mubahala, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had undertaken while dealing with the Christians of Najran, and when the Christians of Najran were insisting on their beliefs, so and Allah revealed a number of verses about the clarification of the Prophet Jesus, Prophet Isa al Islam, that he is not son of Allah, rather he is a prophet of Allah, he is a messenger of Allah, he is a noble man of a noble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they were still, but the Christians were adamant on their instance, and they were not ready to accept the truth which was being revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the through the revelation, to let them know the realities of the Prophet sent to them. So yet they were adamant on their own position, on their own view. So ultimately Allah asked his Prophet to ask the Christian of Najran to come in open, and let's see under the sky who is going to be blessed and who is going to be cursed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took with him his family, and in his family he took Ali radiallahu anhu, Fatima radiallahu anha, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain radiallahu anhuma, and he himself. This way five members came out from house, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Allah, this is my family." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this honor to Ali bin Abi Talib to include him in his family, because of Prophet's family is actually the family of Ahl Bayt. So Ali bin Abi Talib was included among Ahl Bayt, which is again a very high distinction that was given to the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu through the event of Mubahala, in which he was included as a member of the Prophet's family in his pursuance to come out in open in under the sky to let the Christians know that who is on the truth, whether they are or the Prophet is, and that's how when the Christian came and they saw the Prophet and his family, they feared for the reason that they found the Prophet and his family the noblest people and the people of light and blessings. So they realize that it is not the right course of ours to come into the open under the sky to attract Allah's wrath on us, to attract Allah's curse on us. So they retreated and they reverted and they backed out. So they did not come on the scene for the sake of proving the matter, by Allah's action of his blessings or curse to the one who was on the truth would be blessed, and the one who will be on the false will be cursed. So the Christian avoided this mubahala. So that proved that the Christian were not on their right course. That's the reason that they did not come forward to attract Allah's action, but rather they avoided. But the Prophet ﷺ took his family members and went out in public and open under the sky. That proved that the Prophet ﷺ was on the truth. That's the reason that he was ready, and he physically came out in the open under the sky, whereas a Christian avoided. So that is itself clear whose position was what. So this is another excellence of the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Similarly, the Caliph Ali radiallahu anhu had the distinction to be left in the Prophet's room when in the eve of migration to Medina. The Prophet had asked his brother in Islam, Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, to lay down on his bed so that the next day he could return the trusts of the people of Makkah and then to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. So this is another distinction, that he was left on the Prophet's bed. This was another distinction that was enjoyed by the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Similarly, in the Battle of Badr, he was one of the bravest men to combat the enemy forces. And the Battle of Uhud was one of the most prominent companion in the protection of the Prophet ﷺ, who proved to be shield among the other companions, like Talha, who was also one of the companions who proved to be the shield to the Prophet. Similarly, Ali radiallahu anhu was also among them the most prominent. Similarly, in the Battle of Khaybar, he is the most remembered man, and in the whole expedition of Khaybar, when he was given the standard by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that next day I will give this standard to the person, to the man who is dear to Allah and his Prophet. Everyone was anxiously waiting who will be that blessed and fortunate man with whom Allah and his Prophet is pleased, and who are held in high esteem by Allah and his Prophet, or who is dearer to the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next day the Prophet asked, where is Ali? So he was suffering from some kind of pain in his eyes. Yet the Prophet, when he was called, so the Prophet had healed his eyes up as well and gave him standard who conquered the mightiest fort of the Jews, and this way that fort was conquered by the at the hands of Ali radiallahu anhu. And after conquering the fort, he was held at the highest esteem even among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had tried their best also to conquer that fort, but they could not, and it was ultimately conquered by the Lion of Allah and his Prophet Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Similarly, at the event of Tabuk expedition, the Prophet had appointed Ali radiallahu anhu his deputy in his place in Medina. So, and he then had marched towards Tabuk. The hypocrites of Medina started speaking that Ali has been left in Medina for the reason that he was not dear to the Prophet, otherwise the Prophet had taken him also in his company along with him. When Ali heard this, and he is left with among the women and children of Medina, when Ali heard this rumor and this murmur and this whisper, he just right on the spot decided to leave Medina and to trace the Prophet. When he went on his horseback to the and reached the Prophet ﷺ while he was on the way. He asked that this was being spoken by the people of Medina, by the hypocrites of Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "O Ali, I have left you behind me as Musa had left Harun behind him. Only the difference is that there is no Prophet after me." This again a very great distinction was assigned to the great Caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. May Allah bless him, may Allah elevate his ranking, and may Allah give the strength to understand and to follow his footsteps, which is set for the Muslim Ummah as well in all the difficulties and challenges he faced. Yet he was upright man, he never deviated from the path, as he was all around facing challenges from within Medina, from Makkah, from Kufa, from Syria, from Basra, from all around. He was facing challenges over challenges, one after another, in the whole this depth of crisis. Yet he was the steadfast man, he was the upright man, he was the righteous man, and he was the man of truthfulness and trustworthiness, as he had inherited these traits from his Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So these are the few, these are just a few of his high profile and his high position in Islam and among the, in the Muslim Ummah. This is the great Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So we should understand the recognition he holds by Allah and by his Prophet, as well as the status he has been given by the creator of the universe, as well as by the Prophet of Islam, for his acts of great services, for his great sacrifices, for his great achievement, for his great marvels which he has been doing in the cause of Islam right from his childhood, when he was even around 10 or less than year less of his age, and right from that day till the last day of his life, he was in the service of Islam, he was in the service of the cause of Islam, he was in the service of the Muslim Ummah. And in the same way, he got also martyred. He also then passed away from the world while being martyred by one of the Kharji. That will also be seen how it happened as well. And the Prophet ﷺ said that there are two men who are the most cursed people of the world. The one who harmed the Salih al-Islam's camel, and the second will be the one who will strike your beard. So this is how the Prophet had also remarked that they two are the most cursed men of the world, who will do the next, and the second will be the one who will strike your beard. At the same, it happened that when he was on the Fajr prayer, he was struck by a man of Khawarij, and that way he was struck on his head, and this way he had received severe injuries, and in the same wake of his injuries, he met his Lord. After a couple of days, he was injured in 17th of Ramadan, and he met his Lord on 21st of Ramadan, 40 years of Hijrah. Inshallah, we'll see that in detail. This is a brief account of his excellences, of his distinctive features. And I can really, in fact, if we talk of the excellence of Ali radiallahu anhu itself, it is a whole chapter, it is a huge account which really needs a number of hours to just reflect upon, or just to once to just to go through the great position of the great Caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. May Allah bless him, and may Allah give us the strength to understand and follow the great Caliph of Islam, who had done his extraordinary marvelous and services in the cause of Islam, in the service of Islam. Yes, we have now, we have another distinction for the Caliph of Ali bin Abi Talib, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said that I have been ordered to love four persons. When he was the, when the Prophet asked who are the four, he said they are Ali, Abu Dhar Ghaffari, Salman Farsi, and Miqdad radiallahu anhu ajma'in. See the great distinction that the Prophet said, I have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love these four persons. Who are they? Ali bin Abi Talib. See, the Allah is asking his Prophet to love Ali. This is beyond description, beyond explanation, that the creator of the universe loves his servant Ali and asks his Prophet to love him also, as well as Salman Farsi, as well as Abu Dhar Ghaffari, as well as Miqdad radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah bless them all, and may Allah give them strength to follow their footsteps, their glorious lives, their glorious footsteps, which really leads us to the paradise, the eternal abode of bliss and pleasure for the fortunate persons, for the fortunate people of the world only. There is another reference, and that is when the Prophet ﷺ established brotherhood between Muhajirin and Ansar in Medina, and after establishing all the brotherhood, Ali was left alone. So Ali radhiyallahu sadly asked the Prophet that you have not established my brotherhood with anyone from Ansar. So the Prophet said that you are my brother and you will remain in my company. This is another decision the Prophet said to the great Caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib, and that's true. That's right after migration. Before migration, he was with the Prophet. He used to live with the Prophet in his house. After migration, still the Prophet took him in his company and he lived with him until he was married with his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And then he only got separated in another house, and then he shifted there. After his marriage with the Prophet's beloved daughter Fatima bint Muhammad radiallahu anha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who also bore him the great two chiefs of the youngs of paradise, and the ones who also were the men of bravery and courage and confidence, and they also showed their valor in their respective times and in their respective position, which is remembered throughout the history and will be remembered till the day of judgment, the services they. It is the world, in the world history, this kind of example of Imam Hussain's sacrifice is not witnessed. And the whole world history is on the record, which cannot be able to bring us a match or example of the sacrifice shed by Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu in Karbala, sacrificing all the male members of his family, the around 70 members, with no arm and ammunition, or with no shields. He brought himself. They were all innocent and empty-handed. They were all having not any armor with them or anything, having their military preparation. Yet they offered their all lives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only one after another, till all the 70 or 72 or whatever the figure, at least minimum 70. There are other records of more than hundreds, but that was the record, but at least 70 is at the minimum number. They offered their all sacrifices, living their life, sharing their life in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not taking breath or flesh on the hands of the rulers who were not warranted or who were not recognized within the bounds of Sharia, as said by Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu had said about, there is a very significant event and in which he narrated his position also with reference to the predecessors or with reference to the previous caliphs. Once he was in Kufa, once he was in Iraq, one of the people, one of the men said that we heard that the Prophet said that the Prophet had appointed you his successor. So Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu said that it is not true. The Prophet did not appoint me as his successor. It is quite baseless. And had he appointed me his successor, I would not have allowed Abu Bakr, Umar to come to the caliphate or to come to the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would have killed them even I was left alone. This was the response of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, that the rumor or the things which were spreading by the conspiracies of Abdullah bin Salah, who had done into this all Kufa, Basra and other places, these rumors that Ali was the successor of appointed by the Caliph, and it was his right and this was his due which was not given to him, and this is what all this kind of misgivings were spread by Abdullah bin Sabah. So people were affected by his misgivings. So they inquired from the Caliph Ali, themselves directly. So he himself clarified the position that no. He said further that that what happened is that in the last days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked Aisha radhiyallahu anha Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu to be leading the prayer in the Prophet's mosque. So Aisha radhiyallahu anha tried to hold the Prophet back for the reason that his father was a tender-hearted man. So the Prophet said, "You are the woman of Yusuf's time," angrily, and then they emphasized that none but Abu Bakr only. Then Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu was positioned on the Prophet's place to lead the prayers in the Prophet's mosque. So Ali radiallahu anhu said that when the Prophet had appointed him as our chief in our religious affairs, so I thought that he is leader of, in our religious affairs, so it is right to take him our leader in our temporal affairs as well, because our religious affairs are preferred over our temporal affairs, and for that affair, if he is appointed our leader by the Prophet, so he is a rightful man for the to be the leader for our temporal affairs as well. So that's how we accepted him as our caliph, and we did with him on also served with him whatever we were asked or we were assigned with our full in letter and spirit. This way he said that actually so the reference of Ali radiallahu anhu was what he made is that he was made our leader in the religious affairs, so for temporal affairs we also submitted that to him, thinking that when he was appointed for more important affairs by the Caliph to be our leader, so in temporal affairs which are less important, so no other than the leader of religious affairs to be the most suitable person to take our lead in our temporal affairs as well. And this is how we accepted him through his position of being leader of religious affairs appointed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was a clarification what Ali radiallahu anhu gave to the people. He also continued that Then he was appointed, then he appointed Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. We also served him, we also complied with him with all the orders and all the assignment which were assigned to us. And then he says that after Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu's assassination, I was thinking that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu will appoint me as the next caliph, but yet he dreaded the consequences of his own choice. So he constituted a committee of 6 members, and this way when the matter left to the Quraysh to appoint the next caliph, so I was thinking that the Quraysh will not ignore me. But yet when Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu took the matter of appointment of election, so he took a pledge from me that in case he does not take pledge from me, then whom I should taking pledge. So Abdul Rahman had taken promise from me. So when he declared Usman to be the next caliph, then I understood that this promise was taken from me for some other person, not for me, for the caliphate. So then he continued and he said that then we also served and complied with Usman bin Affan radiallahu anhu as our leader and as our imam as well. And then this matter was left with me, and then I became caliph. But when I became caliph, one man had objected me and opposed me, whereas he is not at par with me, nor in relation, nor in knowledge, but yet he did not accept me as a caliph, although I deserve for it. This was the clarification of the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to the people, so that they could not have any doubt or any confusion about the previous caliphs as well as about the Caliph Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu's position. This is how he had clarified. We will inshallah continue this after a short break, and for that we will inshallah continue from that of from the justice and words, and that of the pledge, that is what the beginning of the caliphate. And before that, we will also touch upon the other point, other aspect of his personality, that are the wise words. The words of wisdom, which are very famous on the part, on the credit of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who had been on different occasions delivered the sound words of deep wisdom and the words of great wisdom, which was preserved, which were preserved on record, and they are really remembered and celebrated in the Muslim Ummah as the beacon, or as the source of guidance, as the source of light, as a source of salvation. So these are the words which are quite glorious words, or the golden words, which really needs to be reflected upon and to be practiced upon for the success in our worldly life as well as success in our life hereinafter. So for example, he says that establish close relation with your tongue and your body, and keep away from heart and action. He says that establish close relation with your heart, with your tongue and body, and keep distant your heart and your actions from you. This is a very significant aspect for a spiritual aspect, that to keep close relation with tongue and body. That means what we say, this tongue, we should also believe in that, or we should also practice that. It's only not for the sake of saying only, and so far our actions are concerned, that should deviate our tongue. So he said no, that body and that this should be followed, what you speak in your tongue, by your tongue. So that's what he said, that relationship between the body and tongue should be established closely. He also said some other golden words that inshallah we will do after a short break. With this we conclude the session. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu.